Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week we'll hear about some of the vast array of services offered by the NFB, or National Federation of the Blind.
We'll speak with Chris Danielson from the NFB about topics as varied as training, education, publications, product evaluations, and towards the end of the show, we'll be talking about partnerships the NFB has with others to develop technology for the blind. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Chris Danielson.
I think the most important thing to remember, if you are a person who is losing vision or adjusting to blindness, is that your greatest resource is other blind people. And the National Federation of the Blind is an excellent way to connect with other blind people in your community and beyond. And that's the thing that will be most helpful to you, more than any particular piece of technology or any particular individual service. And that's the real benefit of being part of an organization like the National Federation of the Blind.
Well, because anything that you're trying to figure out how to do, odds are pretty good someone else already did.
As has been said many times before, there is no need to reinvent the wheel. And, you know, some blind person has probably already dealt with all of the situations that you're dealing with, even if they're particular to your profession, because even with the high unemployment rate among blind people, there really are blind people in every imaginable profession, except for the professions that, you know, involve driving. And who knows, that may change in the future as well.
Here at Eyes on Success, we do our best to put people in touch with many of these other resources to start the conversation so you can at least hear about some of this other great stuff that's available for you, much of which Chris Danielson will be talking about later. Let's get started by meeting Chris Danielson and learning about his involvement with the National Federation of the Blind.
My name is Chris Danielson, and I serve as Director of Public Relations for the National Federation of the Blind. I have been blind since birth.
How did you first get involved with the NFB?
I came into the National Federation of the Blind when I was getting ready to start college, but I didn't really begin to become involved seriously until I had been to one of the training centers that NFB endorses and operates in the United States. But I got my blindness skills training at the Louisiana Center for the Blind, which is a center that was started by a Federationist named Joanne Wilson, and who later became director of the Rehabilitation Services Administration for a time. And that is how I became seriously involved in the Federation. And I came to actually work for the national office of the National Federation of the Blind about 10 years ago.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is an overview of the myriad of services provided by the National Federation of the Blind.
So we wanted to focus today on the NFB and the wide range of services and resources that it offers to people. And we thought maybe you could start out by giving us an overview of the mission of the National Federation of the Blind.
In the National Federation of the Blind, we know that blindness is not the characteristic that defines us or our future. And so every day we raise expectations for blind people, because low expectations are what stands between blind people and our dreams. Low expectations create obstacles between blind people and their dreams. And we know that anyone as a blind person can have the life they want, and that blindness is not what holds them back as long as they have the proper tools, the proper training, the proper resources, and the proper support to move forward as a blind person. And that's really our purpose in the National Federation of the Blind. We are a membership organization. We invite blind people, and by blind we mean anyone whose vision is sufficiently diminished so that they are classified as blind, or even if it's functionally so low that they have to start doing things differently and considering using blindness skills. And we call any such person a blind person. And what we do is provide the blind people who are members of our organization with a mechanism to get together with other blind people, to learn how to deal with blindness successfully, to access the resources and services that we have put together, and to engage in advocacy so that the lives of all of us as blind people are improved. So that's really what we're all about.
Can you talk a little bit about the advocacy, and then we'll get into some of the services that you provide to your members?
Certainly. Since our founding in 1940, we have been very aggressive advocates for the civil rights of blind people. Our founder was a blind lawyer named Jacobus Tenbrook. Dr. Tenbrook was one of the first people to really see those issues as civil rights issues, as the problem being not a medical problem, not the problem that we have a disability, but the problem being the way society treats us because of that disability. The way that we are segregated and not given opportunities to get employment and to fully participate in different aspects of society, you know, and that tradition has continued. That is part of our history. And today we continue to advocate on issues that affect blind people. For example, we are currently engaged in an effort to see that accessibility guidelines are produced for colleges and universities to use so that as they go from printed textbooks and regular classrooms to increasingly electronic course materials and online classrooms, those materials have to be accessible to their blind students. And they can be equally accessible if the universities implement the right policies and procedures, and if they make sure that the technology that they procure is accessible to their blind students. And so we are advocating a bill that has been introduced in Congress in the House of Representatives called the Technology Education and Accessibility in College and Higher Education Act, or the TEACH Act, that will allow the federal government to set guidelines that universities can use as they procure technology to make sure that they comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Rehabilitation Act and the laws that already protect the rights of blind students. So that's just one example of the advocacy that we're doing, and a particularly critical one, we feel, because it focuses on making sure that blind people get opportunity, that we get an equal education with our sighted peers, and therefore have an opportunity to compete in our modern world where technology is an integral part of virtually everything that you do now.
So I noticed on your website, and I think you mentioned this earlier, that you establish a number of methods for people to network with other visually impaired folks. And this can range from anything from professional organizations or people involved in crafts and many other types of activities. Can you talk a little bit about those networking opportunities?
Certainly. You know, we have so many different divisions and groups at this point in the National Federation of the Blind that I've almost lost track of them. And that's because we're a very democratic organization, and really any group of members who have a common interest among our over 50,000 members nationwide can gather together to discuss their interest or their professions, to share stories about how they have succeeded, and to support each other as they are advancing in their careers or even in just doing things that they're interested in. For example, we have a travel and tourism division for blind people who like to travel, and they can talk about, you know, matters like which tours are the most accessible to a blind person, you know, which museums have accessible exhibits, how to cope with traveling in a foreign country as a blind person, all of those things they can discuss just because travel is something that they're interested in doing. And it also serves as an outlet for, you know, those members of the blind community who are travel agents or who work in the travel industry. So there's really just a wide range. And we have those listed on our website at www.nfb.org, and if you click on members, you'll see a list of a link to divisions and committees, and you can sort through those and see what you're interested in. Most of the divisions have an email list. We have several email lists on what we call NFBNet. It's a separate website, so it's a little bit confusing, but if you go to nfbnet.org instead of just nfb.org, you can find the various interest groups that we have and join them virtually online and start communicating with blind people who share your interests and exchange information in that way.
From what I've seen on your web, there are actually various methods these groups communicate, not only by email list forums, but some of them actually have some call-in numbers where they actually can chat with each other regularly in person. Is that right?
That is true. It tends to vary from group to group, but some of them do have those call-in numbers. Some of them are very active on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, and have their own Facebook pages and their own Twitter accounts. There are various ways that people communicate within these groups.
What about people who want to meet up with others face-to-face?
We also have a local chapter in many cities throughout the United States. We have over 700 local chapters. So it's worth investigating whether there is a chapter of the National Federation of the Blind in your community. And we can certainly help you do that through the national office. Right now on our website, you can identify who the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Florida is, for example, and you can then contact that person and he or she can put you in touch with a local chapter. But we're hoping to make that even more seamless through a new website design and through social media. We're building a unified database of all this information because we, you know, the best thing for a blind person, particularly a person who is new to blindness and is just adjusting to it, is to have the opportunity to meet and interact directly with other blind people. And that can happen online through our different interest groups, but it can also happen directly in a local chapter. And also, each of our state affiliates has a convention each year. It's usually only a weekend that you're giving up to go to one of our state conventions. And then we have a national convention that will be taking place for the next 5 years in Orlando, Florida, in July. So we have all of those opportunities for blind people to get together non-virtually as well as virtually.
Now, you talked about the various ways that people of various interests can network together and get together in person if they want to. What about some of the other services that you offer?
One of our biggest services is our NFB Newsline system. And NFB Newsline is an audio newspaper system that we establish. It's different from a lot of other audio newspaper systems because it uses text-to-speech instead of using human readers. And through that system, we're able to offer hundreds of newspapers and magazines from across the country, as well as some other things like weather forecasts and TV listings and job listings. So that's a big service, and we have hundreds of thousands of users. It's actually a very popular service. People who don't know anything else about us as an organization know about that service.
And next week, we'll be dedicating an entire episode to the NFB Newsline service.
I understand you do a lot of product testing. What kinds of devices do you evaluate?
Through our national office here, we house what we call the International Braille and Technology Center. And that is a facility where we gather and test in sort of a consumer reports fashion all of the different technologies for blind people and other technologies that aren't specifically designed for blind people to see how well blind people can use them and advise blind people from across the country and even across the world on what technologies might be useful to them. And people can actually go into the International Braille and Technology Center if they come here to our headquarters in Baltimore, but they can also call us and speak to one of our technology representatives who can answer any questions they have about blindness and low vision technology.
Can you talk a bit about your store?
We also operate what we call our independence market, which sells adaptive aids and appliances for blind people. And that's also a service we provide. You can order canes and Braille watches and talking watches and different things online, and we can ship them to you. And I should also not fail to mention that another service that we provide is we do provide a free white cane to any individual blind person who wants one. And we are also, I'm not sure that this has started yet, but it was announced that we will begin providing a free slate and stylus to any blind person who would like to have one.
Now, is that just people in the U.S. or is that international?
It is just people in the U.S. Unfortunately, it cost us too much to ship them internationally for us to make them free under those circumstances. But in the U.S., of course, we can take advantage of the free Matter for the Blind mailing. And so the program is truly free. The blind individual pays nothing. There's no means testing. There's no eligibility requirement. And you can order a new cane every 6 months. We don't want people ordering one every week because we would very quickly run out of them and the program would become very expensive.
We've heard some really good things about the NFB's blindness skills training programs. Can you talk about those?
We also have, although they're not directly controlled by the National Federation of the Blind, they're usually run by state affiliates. We have three blindness skills training centers in the country. One, the Louisiana Center for the Blind in Ruston, Louisiana. One is the Colorado Center for the Blind in Littleton, Colorado, which is near Denver. And one is Blind Incorporated, which is located in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And when you say Blind Training Center, I take it this is a program to teach someone all of the skills they need if they've suddenly lost their vision or realized that they might need some of these skills.
Exactly. These are complete comprehensive training centers where blind people can learn cane travel, learn Braille, learn independence and home economic skills. Most of them have a wood shop even where blind people can learn to use tools and build things with those tools. It also gives you the skills that you need to maintain a home when you have one, for example. So it's really a holistic approach to getting blind people all the skills that they might need, as well as to build their confidence. One of the things that we really focus on at our training centers is really building the confidence of blind people in the skills that they're acquiring.
So you said that when you obtained your blindness training, you went for a 6-month residential program. Do these centers offer different levels of training depending on people's needs and desires?
Well, the comprehensive training program is a 6 to 9 month program. However, they do offer programs for children and teens that are summer programs, and some of them do offer day programs. Of course, those mainly benefit people that live in the local area, and they usually focus on senior citizens. But they do offer day programs so that you can live in your own home, but come in the daytime to improve your blindness skills.
Now, I understand you also publish a number of magazines that are distributed either in Braille or other formats. Can you talk about some of those?
Sure. Our main flagship magazine is called the Braille Monitor. It is available in Braille and in print and in audio format, and you can get the magazine online as well and through NFB Newsline. The same is true of Future Reflections, which is our magazine for parents of blind children, and that's another important division that we have. The parents of blind children obviously is not made up of blind people, but it is made up of parents who have blind children. And they, of course, are an important resource for each other. And that division publishes the magazine Future Reflections. So those are our two biggest ones. And then, of course, each of our state affiliates have individual newsletters, and several of our divisions do as well. And so we have all of those publications available to the blind community and the general public.
So with the advent of the internet, and anybody can get anywhere. I know this is the National Federation of the Blind, but do you welcome non-U.S. people into these groups?
We certainly have a certain amount of non-U.S. participation, and we are expanding our reach in some ways because obviously, you know, everything's worldwide now with the internet being the way it is. And so, for example, I've appeared several times on Insight Radio, which is a radio station that's based out of the UK, to inform them of our programs and different things that we're involved in, because they have listeners here in the United States. And, you know, we've worked with international organizations on issues of accessibility that affect blind people worldwide. We worked with blindness organizations from all over the world because we wanted the World Intellectual Property Organization, which is a United Nations body, to put forward an international copyright treaty that would allow for the production of books for blind people all over the world, and more importantly, the transfer of books across international borders. So we work on international issues like that, too, and we certainly welcome international participation. It is true that a lot of our advocacy issues are directed to the United States and directed under U.S. laws, but they, you know, particularly in the areas of accessibility and other areas where there are international concerns, it's likely that they do affect blind people all over the world.
Now for this week's high-tech item, some of the National Federation of the Blind's partnerships with others to develop technology for the blind and how to reach the NFB.
In your technology center, I assume you develop new products and services that you'd like to see made available to the visually impaired. I think you worked originally with Kurzweil to have some of the first OCR readers built into phones. What other kinds of things are you working on?
Well, we did work with Raymond Kurzweil. We actually partnered with him, and a company was created called KNFB Reading Technologies. That company is not the NFB itself. It is a joint effort with Ray Kurzweil, and we did produce the first readers for mobile phones, and that work continues. We hope to have some exciting announcements about that fairly soon. We also worked with Virginia Tech to create non-visual interfaces that allowed a blind person to drive a car. In fact, the executive director of our Jernigan Institute, which is our research and training arm, his name is Mark Riccobono. He actually drove a Ford Escape equipped with this technology on the Daytona International Speedway as a demonstration.
And he's still alive to tell about it.
Yes, he is. And he actually used this technology. And this is a non-visual technology that actually, rather than the car just driving itself, it actually gave him signals through gloves he was wearing and through vibrations in his seat as to when to turn and when to brake and when to do certain things. And he has successfully drove this vehicle and successfully navigated obstacles that were thrown into his path. One of the other things we're working on with others is to try to find a way to bring the cost of refreshable Braille technology down, because obviously there are refreshable Braille displays on Braille note takers and ones that you can buy separately, but those displays are very expensive.
Well, that's really a wide range of resources and services that are available. Can you tell people how to find out more? You gave your web address, but you said there's also a phone number that people can contact NFB through?
Yes, there absolutely is. I'll give you all of the information at once. Of course, I've mentioned our web address, which is www.nfb.org. We also have a phone number at our headquarters here in Baltimore. That number is 410-659-9314. You can call to access any of our services. There's a menu system that you can use, or you can just dial through to the operator by dialing zero and ask questions about any of our services. They'll connect you with the proper individuals that you need to speak to. And we also are on social media. You can find us on Facebook just by searching for National Federation of the Blind. And we do have a Twitter feed. And that Twitter feed is NFB_voice. If you or your listeners have any questions about whether we provide another service, another thing that you think of, or what work we've done in a particular area, all you have to do is contact us. And I forgot, we also have a general email address. For those who still rely primarily on email, you can just shoot us an email at nfb@nfb.org. I did mean to repeat NFB twice. It is nfb@nfb.org. That's our general information email. You can fire any question off to us that way, and we will respond to it.
Now, that was a lot of information there, and I'm sure not everybody caught all that. But as usual, we'll have all that contact information, as well as links to the other information you heard about in the show, about their periodicals and member groups, in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. So look for that.
That's it for show number 1417. Next week on Eyes on Success, as promised, we'll be talking about NFB Newsline. NFB Newsline is a free yet extensive source of information from the National Federation of the Blind. Users can access over 250 newspapers, over 40 magazines, and many other items via your choice of touch-tone telephone, iPhone app, or on a computer. We'll speak about the service's history and features with its director, Scott White, who will also demonstrate it. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success, and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.